You see the scripture there this morning. And that scripture there is going to be a reference for us this morning in Galatians. But I want you to go to the book of Luke with me this morning and look at chapter 15, a familiar passage. I want to share it with you this morning before I forget that just the title of our sermon this morning is Count Your Many Blessings. And another blessing that you can add to your list of many is that no woman, child, or man should have to leave this service today and get wet. Our ushers have several big umbrellas that I know could put two or three families under at one time. And they are ready and equipped. And I'll tell you what they'll even do, too. If your car is over by the way, all you got to do is hand them your keys. And now, if it's an older model car, they'll come pick you up. If it's a newer one, they'll meet you back here tonight. Amen. But, because some of them enjoy that new smell as well as I do. It's not that they mean any harm. They just won't take time to smell that newness. Amen. You can't buy it. You can't supply it. Even with those new Christmas tree scent, you can't replace it. But this morning, there's one that we can't replace. Amen. There is no substitute. There is no artificial substance that we can put into place of the one this morning, the one we've gathered in, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. This morning we've come to worship Him. This morning we have come to adore Him. And this morning service, I just want you with me in one accord just to take time to count the many blessings that God has given us. Now, there are two different kinds of blessings. One is spiritual and the other is simple. There are simple blessings that we have amongst us every day. And there are spiritual blessings that we have from God every day. And this morning, we're going to take time to look at those, but will you look with me in the book of Luke and look at chapter 15 and find verse 11. This is Jesus speaking. And He said, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me,' and he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with righteous living," which is reckless living. In verse 14, "And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine," which is pigs. "And he would fain," which is gladly, "have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. And no man gave unto him." Verse 17 is our key verse this morning. "And when he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare? And I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants.'" I want you to stop right there for a minute, and I want you to consider this. Charles Allen once said, "A hog will eat acorns under a tree day after day, never looking up to see where they come from." But Charles Allen also said, "Some people are led through their blessings to realize the love of their Heavenly Father." Will you pray with me? Father, this morning Your Word has been opened. Lord, from heaven, I pray, Lord, that You would bring an anointing upon me as Your man this morning to present this Word unto Your people. God, may it not fall upon deaf ears. God, may it fall right into the heart of man. May it not step on toes, Lord, for we've missed our mark. May You, by the Holy Spirit this morning, penetrate our hearts that we can leave this service being better for You. For in Jesus' name I pray, amen. Now I want to give to you this morning three categories in which this passage will fall under. There are three categories of blessings that I want you to consider this morning that's been read to you that you also live in. Number one would be food. Number two would be family or friends. And number three would be forgiveness. Now, when you ask me this morning to evaluate and sum up my life, I am very grateful to be a man of God this morning. I count that a privilege. I count that an honor to be God's man, that He called me by name and He saved my soul from eternal damnation. God has spared my life. and He has saved me from destruction. But not only that, but He's going to prepare a place for me. That one day He'll receive me unto Himself. And He has given that promise to every one of us. You know, that gives us hope this morning. And it gives us a timeline in which God will come and get His people if we don't die first. Now, even if we die, we're going to open up from this life and be in the presence with the Lord, those who are His. The Bible says to be absent from the body is be present with the Lord. So it doesn't matter. Either way, we're going to see Jesus as His people. Amen. This morning, I encourage you, if you've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart, or if you've got away from God, today would be a good day to have that reconciliation that only the Lord Jesus Christ can give you, purchased by the blood that was shed on Calvary, the sacrifice and only holy sacrifice that God would allow. This morning, I want to share with you the food, the family, and the forgiveness. Now, you notice I put food on top of the list. Amen. See, I don't turn sideways much because I'm the same shape either way I turn. Amen. I'll tell you this, to have food and to have family is a good thing. Amen. In America, we're blessed with that. We have bounty. We have such a bounty that God has given us, we could never overdraw what God has given us. Never. God has blessed us. And for us just to take just a moment in this service, then start reflecting on the things that God's given you. Think about food for a minute. We're able to go anywhere, just about any time. It doesn't matter what time of day it is. We can go anywhere, anytime, nearby, and get anything to eat we pretty well want. Now, I know some of us have budgets we live by, and some are more conservative than others, but truth be known, if you want to go eat a steak when you leave here today, you can go get one. And you can pretty well go just about anywhere you want and eat. But we are a blessed people, but I'll tell you, we are a spoiled people as well. Amen? We've been given so much that, truth be known, I don't think sometimes we take time to realize just how good God has been to us. You know, God has blessed us, but to have food is a necessity. My wife will tell you, I said, honey, what can I do to make our life a lot better? She said, you give me food and you give me sleep and we'll live happily ever after. And don't interrupt with either one of those. The only reason, that's the biggest reason I married her. It's because she was the only girl when we went to Quincy's Buffet. She pulled her chair up to the hot bar. She didn't sit with me. And I knew right then, I said, honey, will you marry me? And so from that point on, we've been together since 1992, and praise the Lord for that. But you know, family is another thing I want you to think about just a minute. I want you to think about just... Hey guys, can we cut this unit off right here? Cut this thing off. It's making a little more ruckus than I am, and that's not right. I want to just share with you, think about your family for a minute. Are they with you this morning? Is some of your family with you this morning? Your husband and your wife, maybe? Or your children or your grandchildren? Or maybe an aunt or an uncle or a grandmother or grandfather? This morning, someone may just have family with them this morning. Are you glad they're here? Say amen. Amen. We've got family. And I'll tell you, there's many times when you look around and everybody else is forsaking you, that family will be right there with you. Amen. And I think about forgiveness this morning. You know, there's nothing like forgiveness from the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, listen, it is one thing. You ever done something wrong in your life and you knew you were going to have to face someone with that guilt and shame on your hands? And was it not a relief when you were able to mend fences, so to speak, and you went to that individual and you were able to mend it? The forgiveness that was given and rendered, was it not amazing? Was it not a relief and a burden off your chest? It's the same way it was when you got saved. Same way, you know, listen, there's supposed to be a burden. A load is supposed to be lifted when you get forgiveness from God. If you don't have that lifted, then you didn't get forgiveness. Because, see, His blood covers all, and it's as far as the east is from the west. God takes your sin, and He gets rid of it. And I'll tell you, it's a wonderful blessing to know this morning that we can come together and count our blessings and thank God for food and thank God for family and friends, and we can thank God for forgiveness this morning. Amen? This morning, I want to share with you in this text, what happened to this young man? This young man went there, and I want to share with you in verse 12, it says that he said, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. You know, here's the truth this morning. We've all got a portion of goods that's been given to us. Now listen, we will acquire more the longer we live, but in some way or some fashion, form or another, this morning, we all have goods that's been given to us. And we've had that portion. Now, some have had more than others. God has a reason for that. You know, to whom much is given, much is required. He knows whether or not God's not a wasteful God. He's going to give to you what He knows will be used. So if God's given it to you, He intended for you to use the very thing He gave to you. Or else He wouldn't have given it to you for spoil, because our God is not a wasteful God. If anything goes wasted, it's because we chose to waste it. Now this morning you see where this portion of goods was given, but now look with me in verse 13. He has his portion, and he gets everything he's divided. In verse 13 says, "And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together. He took his portion that he had and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous or reckless living." You know, the Bible says here that there he wasted his substance. The substance this morning that he's talking about is the portion of good that he had received. And it is easy for us to waste the portion that we have. And this morning, the truth be known, we've all wasted some things in our life. We really have. There's times, listen, and just get down to the bare necessities. There are some times that we could have carpooled with someone and we didn't. For some reason or another, we didn't carpool. That could be a wasteful time in our life. There are ways that we could go through, and truth be known, it would be good if someone come in, a financial advisor, and could help us, especially during these trying times, and help us help manage our money and help manage the way our budget that we have in our life. It could help us not to be as wasteful as we are sometimes. But you know, truth is, he didn't see this. The young man, he didn't see him wasting his life and his portion. And you know, the Bible says he went to a far country. He had to go somewhere where he would not feel the guilt or the shame in the way he was going to waste. He wouldn't stay around his dad or his family because he had respect of them. So he had to go off to a faraway country. And so, you know, many times we make the mistake that we can go places and get away with things. I've been out of town many a time, you know, and different places, never left the country. But I've been out of town in different states, and man, you'd be surprised sometime what people think they can get away with just because they're away from their wives, or away from their children, or away from their family. Now, that's not saying everybody is. Thank God this morning for faithful family. But I'll tell you, just because we leave the state or we go across the county line does not mean that God cannot see you. You can't hide from God, and you can't hide your sin, because the sin will find you out, the Bible tells us in the book of Numbers. Amen. We have to live proper and live right. But the Bible says here in verse 14, that and when he had spent all, now everything he's got is gone. Pay close attention to this, and I know we're starting off kind of dry this morning, but he lost it all. But now go to our key verse in verse 17. He came to himself, the Bible says. Notice this. He came to himself, and I want to share with you this morning very briefly. This is a very important passage in Scripture, and this is probably one of the most important phrases that we'll need to learn today. First things first, we need to come to our own selves. See, it took a lot of events for him to confront himself. For him to come to himself means he confronted himself. Have you ever noticed this? You'll go and diet if someone else will do it with you. Have you ever noticed you'll go to the gym and work out if someone will go with you? Have you ever noticed that you'll go to the Cracker Barrel today if somebody will go with you? You know, it's easy to follow someone's lead. And it's easy to go and do what other people are doing. But there comes a time you've got to confront yourself. And say, it doesn't matter who goes or who don't go, I've got to take time to confront myself. You know, because here's the truth. If you really want to take a diet, when do you normally get ready to take a diet? When you're so fed up, sick and tired that your clothes won't fit, and you finally figured out it wasn't the high heat on the dryer, it's because you've been eating too much at the table. Amen? And the truth is, when you get sick and tired of being sick and tired, you'll go on a diet no matter who goes with you. Now, if you're ready to tone up your body, and you've noticed some things have shifted, and you want to put them back in their proper place the best way you know how, no one will have to go with you to exercise or do your push-ups at night. You get sick and tired of being sick and tired, you'll do it by yourself. You will confront the issue, confront yourself, and you'll do something about it. Same way, when you get tired of eating bologna sandwiches, and you get sick and tired of eating, get sick and tired of eating vianas and potted meat, you'll go to Cracker Barrel. They don't serve any alcohol or anything like that, and maybe you can even catch a little fire burning this time of year. Amen? But see, when you get ready and you make your mind up, what has happened is this, church, and I want you to understand the process that's taking place. When you come to that place, what you've done is you've confronted and came to yourself. And do you realize this? Many folks will not witness the gospel of Jesus Christ to others in fear of what they may say or what they may do. But do you realize this morning that you are the most difficult individual that you will ever witness to? Think about it. You are the most difficult one you will witness to. Because tell me the truth this morning, church. Is it not easy to tell somebody else they need to get on a diet and get slim? Boy, that's easy for that to flow out of my mouth. I'm confronting your issue. I can tell you straight up, you need to go to the gym and work out because of things have shifted on you. Basically, you've had a landslide. I can confront your issues a lot easier than I can confront mine. And here's the gospel truth this morning, church. Take it, write it down, take a picture. Remember this. You are the most difficult individual you will ever have to witness to and confront. And here's the truth. You can't confront anyone else till you confront yourself. You will be ineffective. You will find yourself wallowing in deficiency, where first you have to confront yourself before you will ever be efficient for Christ in any work or service He calls you to be. So what brings us to this place? Why does it always have to take somebody dying? You know, how many commitments do you hear at a funeral? Boy, you hear a lot, don't you? Well, I tell you what I'm going to do, preacher. I'll be in church Sunday. I tell you what, I have run from God, and I'm just full of excuses. But I'm just coming, son. I realize that I'm not going to live forever, and I might just need to make a commitment with God. And the whole time, I'm like, you're exactly right. But you're going to have to confront yourself. See, we can talk about other issues, but you have got to come to a place where you come to yourself in life, and you say, what am I going to do now? A lot of times you're not forced into that place in life until something else forces you. Look at the Bible here. The Bible says in verse 14, the best thing that ever happened to this wayward son or this prodigal son, the best thing that will ever happen to you in your mortal life is this. Verse 14 says in the last part of this verse, and he began to be in want. And until you ever begin to want something in your life, you will never obtain it. You've got to be put in a place to where you want it more than anything else. And what happens is this, church. We don't want it bad enough. You ever seen two boxers go toe-to-toe in a ring? Both of them look, they got perfect physique. I mean, They dieted and they worked out and they didn't go to Cracker Barrel. They went somewhere else. They ate the whites out of eggs and things of that nature. But I'll tell you this morning, when they go toe to toe and they've both been trained equally, the one who will be standing at the end of the rounds will be the one who wanted it the most. What makes Tiger Woods so good when he golfs, church? Yes, he's trained, but not more than some of the others. He wants it more than anybody else on the course. What made Michael Jordan so dynamic, number 23 of the Chicago Bulls? Because when he got on the court, he said, I want this more than anything else in my life. And he's left a legacy. And we have to come to the place in our life to where Christ is the most and first and foremost, and we've got to want and long for Him in our lives if we're going to obtain that relationship. Can I get a witness? Friend, I'm telling you this morning, but you've got to be flushed out. You've got to be moved. What's God doing across America right now? He's moving you. He's flushing you. Us. He's changing things, isn't he? Do you think he's doing that to be a cruel God or allowing these things to happen? No. He's trying to put you in a place to where maybe there'll be some famine in your land and you'll want nothing more else than to find a relationship with Jesus Christ. Don't be deceived by our adversary and paint a picture of some other purpose. He wants you. But he knows that he can't have you until you want him. Because he said, those who hunger after righteousness and thirst after righteousness shall be fed in Matthew chapter 5. The Beatitudes. If you want a relationship with God, you've got to want it with all that you are. You look around. Now, here's the truth. Have you ever seen anybody, maybe in a church service, you said, I want what they've got? Raise your hand if you've ever felt that way. God, I just want what they've got. You know how you're going to get it? It won't be by watching them perform. It'll be when you get to the place that you're sick and tired of being sick and tired of where you are spiritually. And you'll say, God, I want. Listen, I want. Really want with all that I am what they've got. And he will, watch this, flood your soul with righteousness. And the glory. I heard this several times in our state association just the other day. The reason Moses come down off the mountain with that glow when he was up there with God, because he was filled with God's presence in his life. Amen. Listen, you can't fake it. You can't be a pretender. I can tell as your pastor when you spent time with God during the week. I can tell. I was sharing with Brother AC, we're talking about worship. I can tell when I stand in this pulpit if you have been praying and getting ready for this service all during the week. I can tell. There are spiritual walls that are put up. And here's the truth. You need to understand, they're put up every single week, and the only way they're not going to be here is if you knock them down. You've got to knock them down every week. Why do you think he gave you 6 days before we meet again? Amen? He said you got to work 6 days. You know what? He wasn't talking about a physical job, though my dad is taking that to heart, and we have work. What you got to work at, church? You were created to worship God. That is your sole purpose in life. You think he created you and said, I'll tell you what you do. You have it your way. Do what you want to do. I'll see you in the next life. Oh, no. He said, I've created you to take my gospel to the ends of the earth, to teach and preach and to sing and exalt me that others may see my righteousness. I want people to see God's love and God's holiness and righteousness and purity in my life and not when I'm just standing in this pulpit. I want to be able to go during the week and I want to know when I leave, maybe they can put on my tombstone when my life is over, Mac Atkinson Jr., a difference maker. I can live with that. Amen? That I made a difference. Not maybe out in the industrial world, because I can fit pipe just as good as the next man can. But that's not going to stand the test of time. We got some good welders in this church. Some who are in a group on their own. But that's not going to be talked about when this life is over. We got some really good businessmen in here. We got some really hard workers. But friend, I'll tell you, this life will soon come to pass, but only what you did for the Lord Jesus Christ will last. That's the only thing that will stand the test of time. The only thing that's going to survive that fire and brimstone that destroys this earth will be what you did for Christ. That being said, it brought him to a place now to where he began to want. But why did he want? Look what happens in verse 15. He joins himself to a citizen of that country and he sent him into the field to feed swine. I think most importantly, we need to learn how not only to want, but we need to learn how to work. I'll tell you right now,
in your families. You know, every family don't get along. Can you say amen? You know what happens a lot of time in the families? Most of the time, the killjoy, or the one who's got the mully grubs, or the one who's got all the advice and the input you do not want to hear, is because they got too much time on their hands.
Amen? They need to get a job. Amen? And you know what I'm praying for so much in this church? Is that all the people that God's brought in, God help me be able to put these people in the place in which they belong. Because you know what happens? As good as things are around here, it can turn sour in a heartbeat because you've got a lot of people who are willing to work. Praise God. But if they ain't got a job to do, they're going to do something. Idle hands is the devil's workshop. You know that? You stay idle long enough. We're busybodies. We're going to find something to get into. And most of the time, it's T-R-O-U-B-L-E. Trouble. So, my thing is, we need to learn how to work. Just be busy doing something. Sometimes I tell them, do something, even if it's wrong. No, it's not. I can't tell you that. But I have to use that phrase on the job, haven't we, Russ? Do something, even if it's wrong, do something. But don't use that. That's wrong that I said that. Confession is good for the soul, and the only thing that will set you free is the truth. But now here's the thing. Well, we're going to finish. And watch this. He began to work after he wanted. But also look at the Bible now, what God's Word says here. Look at verse 16. And he would fain or be gladly have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. Now, here you go. Watch this very closely. Ready? And no man gave unto him. Moms and dads, can I share something with you? Because I am one, but I'll be in a position like you are one day because I don't know your pain or your gain. We are killing our children by giving them everything else everybody else has got. Are they different from the world? God called us to be. Amen. How can they be different if they've got everything and do everything everybody else does? How can they be a peculiar person? But we'll work, miss Sundays, Wednesday nights, in order to give them what the world's got. I can't figure that out. I can, but it wouldn't do no good to explain it. But the thing is this. How can we now not give these people? You know, there's some people, you probably got, I've got some drug addicts in my family. Drug addicts. I'm talking about crack cocaine, marijuana, just you name it. Bad, got it bad. You know what the worst thing I can do for that individual is? I can give them help, pray for them, be there for them. But if I keep sliding them $50, $20 or giving them something, you know what I'm doing? I'm feeding their habit. Do you want to know what brought this man to a place in his life where he come in wanting in his life? It's because the Bible says very clearly in verse 16, and no man gave unto him. The best way you can help people sometime is give them no help. Hear me and understand that very clearly. Love them, pray for them, but give them no help. And don't feel bad about it. Just know you were doing God's work and His will. Now, the Bible says here that he came to himself in verse 17. But what brought him there was this. Look at this. How many hired servants of my father's have bread? What's the title of the sermon this morning, church? Everybody tell me in one accord. Oh, my Lord. You mean to tell me Waddell's got it and y'all don't? Okay, here we go now. Ready? Let me give you a hint. It's called Count Your Many Blessings. All right. All in one accord. What's the title of our sermon this morning? Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Now, I love you. I really do. If I didn't, I'd throw something. No. I want to share with you this morning, Count Your Many Blessings. What is he doing in verse 17? Just look at this very closely and take this home with you. He came to himself, but when he did, watch what he started doing. He started counting. He said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread? How many? He's counting his blessings. He also says, have bread enough to spare. He's hungry. Look at this. And I perish with hunger. But you know what he's hungering from, church? He's hungering not only because he doesn't have bread to eat, but look in verse 18. I will arise and go to my father. He misses his family. Are you glad you've had somebody's doorstep or door you could knock on in the middle of the night? Amen. Thank God for someone who understands and is willing to help you when you're willing to help yourself. But look on. And will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. He's hungering from food, family, and forgiveness. You see it all right there in verse 18. And look at verse 19. I love this text. And am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. He comes to a place of humility where he said, I'll be willing to be a servant in your house and not even your son. You know, I told you before, I'm not worthy to stand before you and preach messages. Thank you for letting me practice on you the last 2 years. But I'll tell you, no matter where I go or what I want to do, I want to be a servant for God. I do want to be a soldier in the Lord's army. A soldier of the cross. And I want to share with you verse 20 now. I haven't read this, and maybe you have, but... And he arose. This is the son leaving out of the foreign country. He's on his way home because he wants to go home. He came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, this is the boy coming down the road. His father saw him. Had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servant, Bring forth the best robe. Put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Do you see all the blessings that I'm reading off to you this morning? And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and be merry. Give me your undivided attention just for a minute and we'll close. I don't know what... Well, I guess I do. I know what it took for me to have that turning point in my life. Verse 17 is a turning point in this passage. Because he was in wanting, he came to himself. He confronted himself. And it is until then, there will not be a turning point in your life. But what brought him there is because he was wanting and in need. And you look what God did here in this father. He was not only waiting on him, but he watched down the road. He knew he'd be coming home. And you know, that's just how God is with you and me. He looks down the road hoping you'll come. Waiting on you to come. And a lot of us are scared of God. Now, see, you don't need to be scared of God unless you leave this life and not knowing Him. But now is a time which God is wanting to receive you unto Himself and embrace you, kiss you, put a robe around you, a ring on your finger. Because did you realize that we are all royalty as God's people? You are princes and princesses because you've been born into the family of the King of Kings. I'm a prince. How about that? I'm royalty. And I should live as though. But it was not of myself. It was because I wanted and He met me there. I confronted the issues in my life. And He's been faithful to me ever since. So what will it take? Let me tell you what it took and then I'm going to close out. This is it. When I was in high school, my senior year high, I had a truck. It was a red Silverado truck, 1990 model, step size, sharp I might add. And I drove that truck, and I can share with you other reasons why I left it, but that's not what I want to talk about right now. My dad and mom bought me the truck, give it to me. There's another blessing, by the way. By the way, kids, your mom and dad don't owe you nothing. You know, if they're good to you, praise the Lord for it, but they don't owe you anything. But you do owe, they do expect your respect, and they should get it by God's word. But the thing is, I got that truck, and I was captain of the varsity football team at South Florence High School. Oh, yeah. Had my letter jacket and all that stuff. You know I said South Florence, not West Florence. I know. I don't have no room to talk right now because South Florence is not doing good in football. Amen. Amen. All right, here's the thing. But we went. We played a game. After that, we always went camping out on Friday night. That was the thing for us boys to do. It kept us out of trouble. If I drove anywhere, if I went by the mall, we was prone to get in a fight. It's just the way it was. Trouble found us. I couldn't go uptown. I wasn't allowed. Not because of my mom and dad. I just didn't need to go. And I'm making more. Now, we never did start trouble, but we were good at stopping it. You know, that kind of stuff. But anyhow, here's the thing. But we would go up there. The best thing for us to do was to go to the woods, away from everybody else. So we went there and we camped out one night. The next day I got up, I was polishing that red truck. I was going to take Miss Leslie out on a date that Saturday night. Well, I hadn't been to sleep all day Friday, all Friday night, and we stayed up all night long. And then Saturday come along, I was wiping that truck off, getting ready for my date. I didn't go to sleep either. Well, that Sunday night, my curfew as a senior in high school was 11:30. 11:30, I had to be home. Mom and Dad said anything after midnight was trouble, and I didn't need to be there. So I got there. Now, my wife didn't have a curfew, so that was always difficult because I had to make an excuse to go home. But the thing was, I had fell asleep on their couch that night, and we were watching some movies, me, her, and her mama. We was all there. And I can remember what Miss Cindy said as I was getting ready to leave the door. She never said anything to me, but this Saturday night she said, "Mac, are you okay to drive home?" She'd never asked that question before. I said, "Sure, I can handle it." So I went and got in the truck and kind of wondered, what's that woman thinking? You know, what's going on in her mind? But she knew, you know, mamas have that intuition, right? I got in my truck and I always drove down Pamlico Highway because she lived over in Pine Forest. And I was leaving Pine Forest and I was coming out of there and I was on my way home running Pamlico Highway. They hadn't put that bridge in there yet, across Walmart and all that. I'm sorry, Bilo, you know, all those Lowe's and all that. Well, I was coming home, and I'd made it into the two-lane part. And that old Harley-Davidson place used to be there on the right. They put a new Greenwood baseball field and all that to the left now. I dozed off right there in front of that Harley-Davidson place and went off the side of the road. Woke up, cracked my window for a minute, rolled it back up, and I drove a little bit further. I said, I can handle this. I should have stopped, but I did. I went on down. And the next thing I know is I woke up in a ditch. And I had took out a half a mile of mailboxes. Easy. Don't know how I stayed on the path on the side of the road. Blaring cars were going by me on my right-hand side because I've already passed oncoming traffic. And I can remember some cars could have hit a family head-on, could have done anything. But God put me over there, and I'm wiping mailboxes out one after the other, and then I hit an embankment there right where old Judge Anderson lives on Pamlico Highway, if you know where that's at. Well, I hit the ditch just before you get to his house. And, you know, the ditches on Pamlico Highway are really, really big ditches. They're deep. Well, my truck was down in the bottom of that ditch. And don't know how I got there. The back glass busts out, knocks all the mud comes in there. The truck is totaled. I'm facing the opposite direction. I'm down in the ditch. Can't get out of the truck. But the back glass got knocked out by the mud. I'm wide awake now. But it's too late. It's too late. The truck is damaged. I had my seatbelt on. Praise the Lord. And I had just, my chest was a little sore, but I climbed out of there. Well, the neighbors start coming out of their house because they had enough sense to be in the bed before 11:30 on Saturday night. And they come out and give me some clothes and help me. But I tell you what happened that night. Looking back on it, and I couldn't see it then, but I can see it now. When you look at the pictures of that truck, I should not be alive. I should be dead. And I can forget about that night when God blessed me. Or I can reflect back on that blessing and know that God preserved my life for this time in my life. Because, see, I should have died that night. In the paper, the obituary should have read, a senior high South Florence student dies in an automobile accident. But God said, no, I'm going to preserve your life. And He blessed. But you know what that did to me? That woke me up. And I said, I should be at a funeral of my own, but God's preserved my life. But you know, it took that in my life for me to get to the place to start really, really serving God. And I ask you this morning as we close out, you may have had similar situations in your life, some even worse, where you shouldn't even be here this morning. But God said, I ain't done with you yet. God don't make mistakes. And don't give all your credit to the doctors, though they are a helpmate for the Lord, but it's God. And God has preserved you and kept you around not to occupy space, but because it's time to start serving the Lord the way He designed you to. And this morning, I'd have you to stand with me this morning, every head bowed, eyes are closed. We have blessings upon blessings this morning. God has been so good to us. He has blessed us spiritually. He's blessed us in simple ways. But I want you this morning to consider this in this prayer. God, this morning, all I owe, I give to You. Thank You for my family, for my children, for my life, for life more everlasting. And Lord, I just thank You. I want to just adore You for a moment. I want to worship You, Lord, and just say, oh God, how great Thou art. And this morning, I want you to pray a prayer this morning of repentance if God has moved in your heart to do so. I want you to pray a prayer this morning of praise, and I just want your lips to bless God and thank God for how good He's been to you. This morning, will you pray with me? Father, thank You so much for all that You've done for me and for this, for our church and for everyone who's come this way this morning. And God, I ask of You this morning, Lord, if one is moved this morning by Your Holy Spirit, will they come this morning? Lord, this altar is open to anyone who would like to come and pray or praise You for Your many blessings. In Jesus' name I pray. This morning, if God has spoke to your heart and you want to just come pray or praise the Lord, will you come? Just a minute. The Lord has spoken to your heart this morning. Maybe God has... There have been many of you that have had similar situations where you shouldn't even be here this morning. Maybe you weren't even supposed to be in this service this morning. But God made a way. God doesn't make mistakes, and there aren't any coincidences in this life. Everything happens for a reason. If you want to just come and praise the Lord along with these people, will you come this morning? Let's just sing another verse. Thank you. bow your head this morning? I guess it would be fitting this morning. I said, Lord, this morning, I said, why all the rain? But maybe this morning He's trying to drive something deep into our hearts through this message this morning and consider the showers of blessing that God has so richly given us. Well, we have so much to be thankful for. Everything in our life hasn't always gone the right way, but I'll tell you this, He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of shouting out unto the Lord and praising Him for His goodness and His mercy. And this morning, I would have you this morning just to leave this place, and as you leave and you see the rain falling upon your windshield, will you just let that count this morning as just maybe a fraction of the blessings that God has given you and how He has so richly blessed us as His people. Will you look this way this morning? I got a challenge for you, and we're on our way out. The people in children's church and toddlers' church are going to say, the preacher must have resigned because you're getting out of here fairly early this morning. But I want to share this with you this morning. Will you take the time to do this before you leave this sanctuary? I'm going to stand at the door this morning, but I don't want to be the centerpiece. What I want you to do is this. If there's any family with you this morning, and listen to me, I've lost family, you've lost family, but a lot of times we don't know what we had till they were gone. Will you take just a minute then this morning, as we dismiss, to take your family, embrace them with your arms, and tell them sincerely, and not because the preacher told you, but because you love them. And you want them to know that. As if you may never see them again, let them know that you love them. Listen to me, I'm going to stand right here, and I'm going to watch. And I ain't going to let you out early next time I preach this message if you don't do it. So take the time right now, to embrace your family and tell them how much you love them. Todd, let's get it started, buddy.